Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome in to CHGO Bulls Post Game, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download their app. Be sure to use promo code CHGO when you sign up. I am Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. Join by my guy, Big Dave. Bow! B-A-W-L Sports on Twitter. We'll be hearing from our guy, Will to Go Gottlieb, live from the United Center later on in tonight's postgame show. You might also notice the third empty chair over here. We might be getting a visitor from a good friend of ours
who's
at the UC tonight. The store? I don't know.
No? Okay.
It's possible he's also a store in addition to a human being.
This is true. That could be a thing.
You'd have to ask him that.
The hard-hitting questions is what we're here for,
that's
man.
Why we're here.
That's right.
And filling in for our guy Joey, it's Kevin Wells, producer extraordinaire. What up, Kev?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing tonight?
Doing all right. Cool. Happy to have you with us here tonight.
Tough watch tonight.
Sorry we couldn't get the win for you, Kev.
Tonight. Yeah.
It's funny, before you got here, he was like, remember when I was filling in for you guys a couple weeks ago, and it was right after we got Pat Bev, and I said, Pat Bev's leading the Bulls to the playoffs, book it.
I remember him saying this, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he might lead them to the 10th seed in a play-in game.
To play-in.
Play-in Pat Bev.
Play-in Pat Bev, baby. Come on.
We'll something. Take it.
Yeah, you know what? Why not?
You know, I'm here for it. You know this by now. Yeah. I am here for all of that, man. I can't turn it around everybody, but it's just me. I'm here for it. And I'm glad you are too, Kay. I'm glad you're here for it.
Yeah, you know,
well.
That's what you play for, playoffs.
That's what you play for.
That's what you play for.
You play to win the game, Kay. Some great philosopher told me that one
time. I am getting tired of watching this team, though. I agree with Peck to a certain degree. I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, watching bad.
There goes the hat.
There's the hat.
Six more, you guys! Six more!
Was that excitement or anger?
It's all of it. It's excitement. It's frustration. We were playing at home tonight, and yet here was another Lakers free throw parade.
Oh, my Lord.
The Lakers took 30. 30 free throws for the Lakers tonight. Bulls, 13. 13. 30 to 13.
Six in the first half, seven in the second. They had 16 at the half. Oh, God, that's just, you know.
Which made it harder for the Bulls to capitalize on the fact that the Lakers were a hilarious 7 of 20 from downtown tonight.
A little hilarious.
The Lakers took a Bulls-esque number of threes, hit only a modest 35% of them.
Yeah.
But the Bulls were like, you know what? It's okay. We got you. We're going to chuck 33 threes tonight and only make 9.
Yeah, got you back.
For a blistering 27%.
Ooh, not the blistering.
I am so sick of watching this same crap over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew the LeBron revenge was coming.
Yeah.
You knew it.
Yeah. This was the game went kind of exactly how I thought it was going to go. I knew Anthony Davis was going to get more than 8 touches. I knew LeBron James was going to be ready to play. You knew they were going to have a full lineup. D'Angelo Russell, who was out the last game, of course, he's playing this game. And the Bulls, I mean, it didn't help. You know, they didn't have their full lineup. Andre Drummond is out. Shout out to Andre Drummond, man, taking that time to make sure he's getting himself together and getting his mind right. Shout out to you, Andre Drummond, for doing that. A lot of people in your position would not do something like that. So shout out to you for doing that, man. And hope you come back stronger and better, for real. But losing him tonight definitely showed how much they miss a guy that can grab rebounds out there for the Chicago Bulls. Because without him, you're pretty small. And they took full advantage of that aspect. 45-32 was the rebounds. 13-6 was the offensive rebounds.
My God. Yeah, the Lakers had like 30 second chance points tonight?
No. Yes, actually, they did. You're right. I was looking at points on turnovers. Yes. They had about that, man. Remember, they had like 17 or 19 in that first half, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I stopped counting at 29, and there were still 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, man. They were just playing, you know, handball for a while. You know what I mean? For a while up there. That's all it was. They were just playing some handball, having a good time, man. But no size, no three-point shooting, no free throws, no win. That's usually how it goes.
Same old Bulls.
Same old thing, man. Can't control the free throws, but yeah, same old thing.
And, you know, so LeBron did his thing. It was a modest 25 on 10 of 19. Not the most dominant night from LeBron, although those back-to-back fadeaways from the left elbow that he had in the second half, filthy. But like you said, it was the AD show tonight. We were sitting here a few days ago. What was that, the Sunday matinee game?
Yeah.
We won in L.A. We're like, well, yeah, it turns out it's a lot easier to beat this team when Anthony Davis only takes 8 shots.
Yes. Absolutely right. When I was discussing this game with my brother, and he was like, so, you know, what do you think is going to happen tonight? He was like, oh, man, he was worried about LeBron coming back. I was like, I'm not worried about LeBron. I'm worried about Anthony Davis. That's who I'm worried about, because there's no way he's taking only 8 shots, and he's going to come back, and he's going to have a little more, you know, pep in his step. And you saw it from the jump.
Yeah.
From the beginning. You know, on the team, the Lakers had more pep in their step. I believe Vooch scored the Bulls, what, first 15?
He did.
First 15 points. So, yeah, they definitely had the pep. The Bulls did not, man. And it kind of went as expected for me. So I wasn't just, you know, irate about a loss. I mean, nobody likes losing or nothing like that. But it definitely went like I thought it would go in every aspect, to be real with you. Like, it really did, in every aspect, kind of go how I thought it was, except for Vooch carrying them, you know what I'm saying, for those first 15. I didn't expect that. But Bulls made a little tiny run to try to get back in the game. Had the lead, you know what I'm saying, for a while.
It was a game of runs.
Yeah.
Lakers got up big. The Bulls, to their credit, ended the first into the second quarter, made that run, even took the lead.
Yeah.
Lakers built another lead. Bulls made another comeback.
Yeah.
And then the Lakers, like, you know, third run was like, okay, we're putting you away for good.
Yeah, you guys can go to bed now. Like, it's all good. But, yeah, I thought Anthony Davis is the one who just set the tone. 38 points, 10 rebounds on, what was his shooting numbers?
13 of 20. So he took 20 shots instead of 8 on Sunday. He also
that
took
helps.
14 of the Lakers' 30 free throws.
He had 14 free throws.
As our friends, French Bulls TV in the comments said, free throws tonight, Anthony Davis, 11 of 14. Bulls, 11 of 13.
Think about that.
Well, that seems fair, doesn't it?
Let that
great
marinate.
Job, NBA officials.
You guys are
really just crushing it this season, aren't you?
Tip top.
Fuck you.
Too busy calling fouls for guys saying no.
Like, And somebody earlier in the comments, I noticed that, you know, I'm not necessarily blaming the refs for this Bulls loss tonight, because the Bulls did plenty of things to earn this L themselves.
Sure.
But come on, refs!
But bullshit is bullshit. You got to call it what it is when it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, those fouls.
And this is not a just one night, one game scenario.
Yeah.
Whoever it was who had that tweet that went viral like a week or so ago, as we earlier this season had to listen to the greatest sob story, the biggest tragedy in the history of humanity, when the Lakers got hosed late in the game when LeBron got fouled and they didn't get a call for it, and they lost that game.
When he dropped to his knees.
Since that happened, the Lakers, by basically double the next closest team, have the highest positive free throw attempt differential of all 30 NBA teams.
It's ridiculous, man. And it's not even close.
LeBron needed some help getting to the play-in, Dave. He needed that help. The Bulls aren't getting any help getting to the play-in. We're going to earn that 10th seed, y'all.
That's right.
If I had a hat, I'd throw it again.
More hats for this man.
Hang on, I'll go get it for you.
Come on, Cam. Get this man more hats so this anger can be swirling about.
I haven't needed my hat rack in a while because emotionally divested myself from this season.
He's got one for you right there.
What a throw.
That was a nice throw. Where are the rest of the hats?
They're back there on the backback table,
can you grab these hats, please, for him?
He's need a couple more, okay. Couple more hats?
Okay. Couple more hats.
Couple more hats. Coming right at you.
I'm going to try and hold myself to one more hat.
No. I know who you are. What are you talking about? We know who this is. It's Matt Peck, ladies and gentlemen. Hats will be thrown. That is what's going to happen right now. But, yeah, the Bulls, they didn't come out with that energy. You know what I'm saying? They didn't come out with that, hey, we really want to win. They kind of got it when the bench came in. The bench did a good job, you know, when they first came in the game. They did a very good job, and I thought they would let Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, who I thought had a real bounce back kind of game.
Ayo played better tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, he had a bounce back game for those guys, so I thought that was big, and that's how they got their lead. But obviously the bench can't be the one to carry you. You know, the bench is like, you're going to have your starters do some things, and they're going to have to do it. Zach LaVine, very quiet night, 16 points. He had 6 assists, but 8 of 14 shooting, but only 2 threes, and he missed them both. You know what I mean? So he was over 2
and
from there.
that dreadful five in the turnover column.
Oh, yeah.
That Zach was pushing it a lot tonight in that, like, just 2.5 miles per hour too fast pushing it.
Yeah.
That causes those turnovers.
And how many free throws you think Zach shot tonight?
Zero.
Zero.
I remember an awful lot of Zach LaVine drives to the hoop for that being a zero on free throw attempts.
Zero. That's wild. That's wild business, man. But, yeah, he didn't have it. DeRozan, even though he ended up with his 22 points, he actually had a couple blocks, you know, a couple steals, a nice steal, actually, with that breakaway. 9 of 15 shooting, that's nothing to sneeze at. But he only got to the line six times. We're used to seeing him get there a little bit more. But he did have three turnovers. He was a minus 20 tonight. He was getting ripped up as well. And making – it was one sequence, actually two sequences, in the third quarter, I believe, where the Bulls were still kind of close, and he got the ball stripped from him, and then the next one, I believe he tried to make a cross-court pass, and as soon as he threw it, I was like, no, they're tall and long in the NBA, they're going to get that right there, and they got it and went to the bucket and scored. So he didn't have his game tonight either. As we said, Vooch was the one that did all the carrying and the heavy lifting for him. Patrick Beverley, who played great, you know, when he was in LA, he's one of the huge reasons why the Bulls got that
victory. Not only did you have to expect a LeBron revenge game, you had to expect a Pat Bev letdown game.
You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. Like I said, it played out like I thought. You know, he put up the binary stat line, you know what I'm saying? Like binary code joint. You know, 0 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. You know, 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. They were all threes. All threes that he took.
That's
all
too
threes.
Many.
That's way
that
too
is
many.
Too many.
That's a
he
lot
took
of
one
threes.
Off the dribble from the top of the key early in the shot clock. And I was like, Pat Bev, love you, buddy. But what the hell is that?
He took a step back, which is wild business. Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams played 24 minutes. Mm. 24 minutes, man. Patrick Williams had 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. 0 of 5 from the three-point line. He was 1 of 7 from the field. That is putrid. That is just plain old-fashioned putrid. I can't even lean on the defense on this one because I was watching him get crossed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, and done up on this one. He played a horrific game. Horrific.
As Pee Will supporter in the comments said, yeah, but he played amazing defense on LeBron.
But he did not.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic.
He's definitely being sarcastic.
No, he's being sarcastic, but he's I can't even accept that because he was not. You know what I'm
saying? Their name in the comments is Pee Will supporter. Maybe I thought they were being serious.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I felt the sarcasm dripping. You know what I'm saying? But no, man, he was not on point defensively, man. It was many a play you watched him get crossed up and taken to the bucket by either LeBron James or D'Angelo Russell. He just wasn't there tonight, man. He did not have a great game. He was off. Like I said, it was led by Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu off the bench for the Chicago Bulls. And Ayo, I talked about it last show, after I thought he had his worst game of the season, I immediately was like, but I think he's going to come back and he's going to have a good game because he's not somebody I worry about mentally. Mm-hmm. He's just not. Immediately when he walked in the game, he was firing shots. Immediately when he walked in. 12 points, 2 rebounds, had 5 of 9 from the field, 1 of 3 from the three-point line. He had a solid game. I thought he was very solid and combined it with Kobe and his 17 points and 9 assists for Kobe White out there, man. Those two guys were carrying the team, which shouldn't be. They should be carrying the bench. They shouldn't be carrying the team, man. But the starters ain't have it, and the Lakers did. Ass-whoopings aplenty.
I mean, if you are looking for silver linings in this one tonight, Kobe White, it's crazy how a season can change drastically your perspective on something, and really even a part of a season.
Yes.
I feel like the last 2 months, a lot of us who at the beginning of the season said, if anybody on this team is probably most likely to get dealt at this trade deadline midseason, that person is Kobe White.
Yep.
For a multitude of reasons. And now it seems like that script has flipped completely.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, of all these young guys, we're talking about Ayo had a decent bounce back game tonight off the bench. Pat had a bad game off the bench tonight. More often than not recently, we've been talking about, you know, not only Ayo having a bounce back game, but Kobe also had a bad game in their loss to the Clippers on Monday night.
Yeah.
He bounced back as well, but it was like, a rare needed bounce back game from Kobe in the second half of the season, because most of the second half of the season for Kobe has just been good game after good game.
True. True indeed, man. But he played well. You know, he really did play well out there for the Bulls, man. He was so important on both sides of the floor. Again, like Billy Donovan said, you know, just complimenting how much he's turning into that two-way player for this team, man. But he played well. But he couldn't be the one to carry them. You know what I mean? He couldn't be the one to be out there like, I'm going to be the ones to beat the Lakers for y'all. Like, that's – no. He was the one that got you the lead and tried to maintain the lead. But come on, man. But he can't do it all out there. It was just wild to see the starters just not have anything, you know, for them. And I think that was the most shocking part of it. Like I said, the game went like I thought it would. But if I had to point out something that surprised me, it was that.
Right.
That the starters had nothing.
You know, Caruso started, only played 19. We knew he was game-time decision coming into this, still dealing with the same foot injury.
Right.
So maybe it's the reason that he was – of the starting unit, the best at -5.
Right.
All other four starters, DeMar, Vooch, Caruso, or Beverly, and Zach, were at least a -20 or further in the negative direction.
I'm going to say that's not good.
Got worked. Got absolutely worked good by that Lakers starting unit.
They really did, man. Like, from the beginning, you know, they couldn't hit shots. I believe at one point they were, what, 3 of 12 or 3 of 13 from the field? Like, it was bad. Now, another point, those threes, they were, what, 4 of 22
at
one point? So, it was just all around bad situations. And I'm sure Vooch had a few of those. I mean, Vooch was the only one. 3 of 4 from the three-point line. 12 of 16 from the field. Now, to match the 38 and 10 that Anthony Davis is going to give you, mm-hmm. that's a great job of matching that, getting yourself 29 and 12 and 6 assists. And I always say that is not normal for a center to do. We got to appreciate Vooch out here, guys. I know it's easy to hate on him and things like that, but you got to appreciate somebody who gets you 29, 12, and 6 and still hit three threes for you. He was the one tonight for the Bulls, but nobody wanted to play with him.
Uh-uh.
Nobody wanted to play with Vooch tonight, man. And you got what you got.
It's
a swift kick.
I mean, Twix. As much as we love Vooch being a solid option to complement DeMar and Zach, they're having an off night, him stepping in. Okay, that's nice. Scoring, as you said earlier, your team's first 15 points.
It's crazy.
Vooch is important. He should not be that important.
Exactly. Same thing we talked about the bench.
Big old yikes.
Yes. Same thing we just talked. Yes. Same thing we just talked about with Kobe White. You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, 17-9 is great, but I shouldn't be expecting you to be the one to carry us. Like, Vooch, you know, is great. And all has been awesome.
Right.
But the first 15, sometimes things don't go right and you got to lean on guys, which is fine. But I'm saying nobody ever stood up. They just kept leaning. You know what I mean? Like, and he's not going to do that. He's not going to carry you like that when I'm dragging Anthony Davis up and down the court. That's going to be very, very tough to do. And you saw how tough it was, man. And, yeah, you kind of got what you got.
All right, let's take quick break here. We come back. We'll continue talking about tonight's loss to the Lakers, where the Bulls are now. Get to more of your thoughts. Got some super chats waiting in the wings, as I see as well. While we're sharing words from our friends and sponsors, you could do us a very simple and appreciated favor.
Won't hurt. That
thumbs up button if you're watching along with us on YouTube. We greatly appreciate it.
That's right.
And make sure you're subscribed to that CHGO Sports YouTube channel.
Won't hurt you at all.
Mm-mm.
Beer!
That's
also something that doesn't hurt this man right here.
No, it helps me most often.
Helps him get through
the
emotions.
By most often, I mean all the time. What
it's
ails you now, my son?
He leans on.
Have a beer, it'll help.
He knows that sound. You want to wake up Matt from a slumber? What's going on, guys? Is it Sunday? No, Matt. It's just Goose Island time.
Is it Thursday, opening day of baseball season?
Oh! So even though you have plans, Matt, do you have plans?
Oh, no plans.
No, zero. He got no plans. Even though he's got plans, he's got no plans. You guys can have no plans, too. One of the delicious beers that Goose Island puts out there. And if you was watching our guy Herb, shout out for him making to the finals of the tourney, of the 108 tourney.
That a boy, Herb.
Shout out to him for that. You saw him chugging three.
Pounded three Gooses.
Three of them things.
Back to back to back.
Three. Back to – he went Jordan on y'all. He's the trifecta.
Dude.
And then went and played a video game and threw a no-hitter. You know what I mean? Like, he's that kind of guy. But he had his Goose Island. You all can, too. And it's not just those. They got the Bourbon County Stout, the Christmas IPA, the Beer Hug IPA Series, the Green Line, and for all you smooth, cool, fancy people out there, the Matilda.
Mm.
The Mark K approved Matilda. So, Goose Island has two local locations, and they are open and ready to welcome who? You. Why don't you head on down? Round on down to Snyderville. Go on down to the Innovation Tanks. I broke Kevin. Yes! I broke Kev. I did it. Oh!
Right on down to Goose.
Another one bites the dust.
Yes. I got a list. I'm everybody who's been on the show, I've broken. Kev was the last one. He was the last one. I got him. Yeah, we in there. That's awesome, man. But you head on down to the Innovation Tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room at 1800 West Fulton, or get yourself a smash burger and a fresh Spirit of the Week at the original Clybourne Brew House. That's 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and pickup, go to gooseisland.com/locations, because it's Goose Island Beer Company, the true taste of Chicago.
Mmm. You know what goes great with the taste of Chicago?
What's that, Matt?
Taste money in your pocket.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can taste the money in your pocket sometimes. Little known fact. You know how to get that money, you know, in your pocket?
I appreciate the attempt.
Oh. Don't just cast that aside as if it's crazy talk.
I'm not casting it aside. I'm just saying.
It's a real thing.
I'm just saying. I appreciate the shot.
We all know money tastes delicious. Okay? So does signing up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account and doing so with promo code CHGO, so that you can get that incredible offer of putting $5 down on any NBA action. Pick a game, pick a player, over, under, whatever you want, and get $200 instantly in bonus bets just for making that $5 bet with promo code CHGO at sign up. Of course, there's also those no-sweat same-game parlays on DraftKings. If you make it to same-game parlay tonight and it didn't hit, no worries, no sweat, because they'll give you a bonus bet back. Tonight's DraftKings king of the game for our beloved Bulls, it's the guy who we were just talking about scoring the team's first 15 points of the night. It's Nikola Vucevic, the man in the middle. 29 points on 12 of 16, very efficient. Also, one of only two Bulls who could hit a three to save their life tonight. He finished 3 of 4 from downtown. As Dave mentioned, 12 boards and 6 dimes to go along with that. Nikola Vucevic, your DraftKings king of the game. One more time, do not forget that promo code CHGO when you sign up.
Sign it on up. I enjoyed that.
As you were reading that lovely ad about Goose Island, Dave, I noticed that we have yet another imposter.
I noticed it well. <in the comments. laughs> I noticed as well.
Why? We at least he was in here earlier. Real Joey was in here. Hi, Joe. Miss you. It was the J.
He said thanks for leaving him a seat.
Yes.
You can keep it warm.
All for you.
But I don't like this.
You don't like young Meat Peck out here? What I like about it is that he didn't even go Matt Peck. He went Meat Peck on there, man. That's one of them deep cuts. And I appreciate stuff like that. So, and I appreciate him. Look at him. Where's my Green Ridge Farms? I like the one where he said, "Arg." He's just angry. For no reason.
That's what I say all the time. Like, arrgh.
Losses like that make me hungry for meat and beer. That sounds like,
all right.
I don't know.
Well, you continue to discuss that. Kev, I want to get your take on this too. I'm going to go find our guest and bring him in. I'll be right back.
He's going to go do that. We're going to keep talking, because I don't know if you noticed this, Kevin, but there's been a fake Joey put up here. So fake Joey started all this. You know what I mean? Then somebody recently made a fake Big Dave one.
I saw the fake Big Dave one in the Cubs chat earlier this week.
Correct.
And we thought it was you, and I'm like, nah, there's no way that's him. He's a Sox guy.
Yeah, and somebody hit me up literally on Twitter and was like, oh, man, dude, you were wilding out in the chat. And I was like, wasn't me.
People were fired up that you were there. They're like, it's Big Dave. Big Dave. And I'm like, guys, I don't think that's Big Dave.
So I told them, well, that means now I have to show up on a Cubs show, which is what I'm going to
do. You
got to
come through, man.
I'm definitely going to show up in the chat on a Cubs show and do that.
Are you coming tomorrow?
I will be in the place tomorrow, man.
Country
and you
Club
all should
tomorrow.
Be there as well, man.
Yeah, what, 10:30, 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. They're starting the watch party for the Chicago Cubs opening day. Starts tomorrow, y'all, 11 a.m. We're doing both sides of town. All right, we're going to start on the north side, and then we're going to end up on the south side, baby, watching the White Sox and the Astros. That one starts at 4 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. So, but yes, I will be there with the Cubs, hanging out with people, you know, drinking some brews, chilling out. Hopefully y'all come out too and have a great time with us, because I think it's going to be a tons
of fun. Oh, man, I can't wait. There's something. Opening day's the best, man. Look,
I got a fake one. He's got a fake one.
What?
I told the next one to have one. It's got to be Will the Goat Gottlieb. He's got to have the next one.
Got to get a fake. Got to get a fake.
Tell you who's not fake.
Join us on Saturday.
There we go.
All the way in from the West Coast. You probably know this guy. He's got a little YouTube channel called Bull Central.
What's that?
Many of y'all probably watch his content as well. It's our dear friend Jamal, everybody. Hey, give it up.
Give it on up. Give it on up.
What's up, Bulls Nation?
Yes. Place. Your face.
What's
here.
Up, buddy?
You're here.
It's good to be here, man. Is this right here?
Yeah, you're
right.
There you go.
Yeah, you're set, right. Man. You're set.
You're good, man.
It was great getting that hug from Big Dave. He was a great hugger. After a loss like that, you need
always improves
just a
your
good,
mood.
Solid hug.
No matter how bad the mood is.
It's true.
Sorry, I'm out of breath because we're running up the stairs. But yeah. No, man, it's good to be here. This is incredible what you guys have here.
Yeah, man, it's not bad. Yeah.
Glad you could come by.
Yeah, for
not
sure.
A bad way to spend a Wednesday, man.
A brisk walk from the United Center just now?
Brisk walk, you know, power walk. My fingers are a little numb, but now I feel a little bit better. You know, okay. Yeah.
But you got to be there to UC. You got to watch this foolishness. You know, what were kind of your takeaways from this game right here?
Can the Bulls, you know, rebound the ball? I mean, what's
dude. What was the final rebounding margin?
I don't know.
85-15.
I got to do what Big Dave does. I got to get my phone out.
That's right.
Box score. Because,
I believe it was 45-32. 45-32.
How do you win games like that?
You don't.
I mean the 3-point. Here's the thing.
Yes, but you also got outshot at the free throw line by a million.
True. We always talk about 3-point shooting, right? Mm-hmm. The Lakers are not a good 3-point shooting team.
True.
And then they still. I mean, the Lakers shot horribly from three.
Yeah.
But it's like. That's part of the issue. You got to have good 3-point shooting in this on this league. You just have to. I mean,
it's true. It
wasn't
true.
Part of the game. So.
It's anyway. True. They didn't have it. Like I said, the Lakers' 3-point shooting wasn't great, but like you said, they got every rebound out there. Yeah. And just, it was ridiculous. And the free throws, what is it, a million to 16?
30 to 15? Was it 13?
It's
okay.
Oh, my God, it was 13.
I know my stats are really hurting my soul.
30 free throw attempts to 13 free throw attempts.
Oh man.
And as you said, Jamal, the Lakers only took 20 threes tonight. That is Bulls-esque.
The Lakers struggle with the same issue the Bulls do when it comes to the 3-point shooting. You know what I mean? Like, that's why they're struggling to get into the play-in as well.
Yeah. Truly. You know? Yeah. Okay, well, so we haven't chatted in a while. Where are you right now? I see some Bulls fans in the comments saying, like, oh, kiss the play-in goodbye. Actually, the Bulls are still up 2 games on the Wizards as of this loss.
Yes.
I think the 10th, you'd have to choke and lose to the Hornets on Friday, which is possible.
Hornets been beating people lately, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Been whooping on cats.
Do you think that they will at least coast to the play-in? Do you think they'll get out of it? Do you want them to do either?
I definitely want the Bulls to make the play-in.
Okay.
So Big Dave and I actually talked about this when I had him on.
That's a flex.
For me, I much prefer to see this team win. I think there's something to be said about instilling a winning mentality. Yes. Obviously, going in, getting a top 4 pick would be incredible if they miss it. But the chances of that are so small at this point based on how many games the Bulls have won this season. So it's like, at least try to get into the play-in, try to make some noise, try to create some excitement, and then maybe potentially attract other players because of the fact like, hey, you know, the Bulls, they struggled this season. But if they were able to get to a place where they slowly started turning things around towards the end of the season, they made some headways in the play, and they actually made it to the playoffs, which hopefully that would be the case. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would much rather that be a scenario rather than them making the play-in, getting knocked out, and then not getting the pick and sending it to Orlando anyway.
Anyway, it's going to happen.
That's just my take anyway.
Yeah, and it's a great, wonderful take. So. It's the take
I feel like Matt disagrees, though.
I am shocked.
Matt I know you've been secretly wanting more losses.
Put me out of my misery, all right?
I don't think it's a secret.
I guess it's not a secret. It's
definitely not a secret anymore. I hate this season, and I want it to die.
What I will say, this probably is the most frustrating season that I've witnessed in a long time.
It's been frustrating.
I mean, it's probably on the same lines of, but no, it's not even that bad. The year that the Bulls, the first year of Fred Hoiberg, where they missed the playoffs, they still had Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose. It was right before they traded Derrick Rose, and the expectations were still somewhat high. And then they, you know,
the year between the last Tibbs year when they lost in 15 and the Alphas year. The three Alphas year.
Yes, that one season between that. Mm-hmm. That was a very frustrating season. But this year, it was like so much expectations, great talent. You know, the front office really emphasized continuity. We're always talking about continuity.
It's kind of a trigger word around here. Yeah. You got to be careful.
And there's just underperformance after underperformance.
Yeah. And that's the key of it, man. It wasn't like the losses were – competitive losses. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, oh man, we lost, but dude, we really did put it on. No, a guy scored 71 on you. You know what I'm saying? You gave up 150.
I was gonna say the 150 points. He's gotta say that.
150 points. Yeah. You gave that up to Minnesota. Yeah. It's those kind of losses. Losing to the mediocre teams. You know what I'm saying? The buzzer beaters. Oh my goodness. Yeah. There were several of those. We just saw the Tyrese Halliburton 3-point shot.
De'Aaron Fox too.
Yeah, the De'Aaron Fox one. Yeah. It's been those kind of losses compiled, which made it so disappointing for the Bulls, because those are teams you shouldn't even be in those situations against. Yeah. Outside of Sacramento. I'm saying you shouldn't be in those kind of situations. Those should be wins for you. Yeah. But they weren't. And that's what makes it disappointing. And then also AK not, you know, doing anything pretty much at the deadline, or even before the deadline, coming into the season, not having any shooters, you know what I'm saying, on the team to kind of space out the floor for guys. But yeah, it's been definitely disappointing for sure. But a chance to get to the play-in nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen.
Yippee.
Put me up in there. I'm playing to win.
Our guy, the Duke, 811, always hanging out here, always appreciate the super chats, has this super chat saying, this Bulls team is so hot and cold. It reminds me of Michael Scott getting and then getting reversed his vasectomies. We're good. We're not. We're snip, good. We're not.
Snip, snap, snap, snip, snap. Snap.
You have no idea the physical toll.
Oh, man, that's great.
The three Bulls wins followed by three Bulls losses over and over and over.
Toss your hat, man.
Oh, there goes the hat.
There it is.
Okay, Kevin brought me more. Thanks, Kev.
No, I don't know if they're Bulls hats. I didn't see. What do you got?
Is this my Chicago Wolves one? Yeah.
Yep.
Calder Cup champs 2022.
Now, I'm going to need you to know that he didn't even look at the hat, but he knew it because he throws that mini that when it hit his head, he knew what hat it was.
I know what
man.
They feel like.
Come on. Yeah, he knows what it is now, man.
It's the same smooth process as a Zach catch and shoot. You just, you know, put one on, take one off. Just catch and shoot, baby.
Unfortunately, those weren't dropping either tonight.
No, they were not.
Let me ask you this. Who surprised you the most as far as how they played tonight, whether good or bad? Who kind of surprised you the most with how they played?
I mean, Vucevic scoring like all the points in the beginning. I mean, I expected him to have a stronger game because the Lakers don't really have a true center, but AD is still a good defender.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, and then obviously, you know, did get the best of him towards the end, but I think Vucevic surprised me. He had a good game.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I guess good or bad. I mean, Patrick Williams, he's got to hit those threes, man. You know, it's like. I'm still a Pat believer, so this doesn't change anything. It's just that there were so many opportunities where he hit where the Bulls really, really needed a three to kind of, you know, keep that run going, and then he would miss it. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the few guys that can actually shoot threes at a decent clip on this team, so it's like you really needed that. Mm-hmm. So I think, those were the two biggest surprises for me, for sure.
And you can see it kind of got in his head, which we've seen a lot this season, especially when he stepped out of bounds.
Yes,
on the baseline.
Yes.
After that, he was like, I don't know who this player is.
Which even if he I was sitting like I guess on the opposite side, so it looked to me like he traveled even before he stepped out of bounds because he shuffles his feet a lot when he does.
He
that,
does.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's like anyway.
So yeah, it was a tough game for him, man. 2 points in 24 minutes is just. It's not winning.
Our guy AK asks us with a super chat, what's up with Zach not attempting or making any threes? Who told him to score by only driving? People in Beverly wear treasures. So yeah, we covered that. But the Zach question is interesting because we noticed that also Was it in the Clippers loss when he only took two threes? And we were like, wow, it's really – I feel
believe
like
so. Let me look.
Zach has had a lot of games recently where his three-point attempts have come down. His driving to the rim has gone up, and he's doing it efficiently.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous that Zach took, what like what you said, only two free throws tonight?
Zero free throws tonight.
Despite the fact that he was driving and driving and driving.
Yes, two threes against the Clippers. Yeah. Missed them both.
When you go to the game, it's funny because you don't pay attention to the box score as much.
Right,
so
yeah.
I didn't even realize that Zach did not go to the
free throw attempts despite repeatedly driving to the basket tonight. What do you guys make of this? Do we feel like we need to be looking for some happy balance here between Zach taking threes and getting to the rack?
I mean, I think Zach has been doing such a good job at finishing at the rim, and you can tell he's more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
That's probably why. Mm-hmm. But he is still a very good three-point shooter, and we need his threes. So, yeah, I would obviously...
And it's like, I believe he's still shooting above 50% from three after the All-Star break.
After the All-Star break, yeah.
Yeah, he's been special from three from there. But not hitting a three in these last two games, and you see your result.
Yeah.
You know, and not attempting more than two in these last two games, and you see your result. Now, you saw what happened with the Lakers game. What do you have, 32? I believe, what did you, like eight, nine threes or something like that game? Hold on, let me look it up.
He dominated that game. That was a really good game.
Oh, excuse me. He shot five threes, but he hit two of them. Yeah. But he dominated. Yes, he did. He dominated that game because he was shooting so well from the field. He shot 68% from the field. So he was doing his thing. But that 0-2 can't be. He can't have two threes against these teams that we have to beat.
Yeah.
We need him too much. Yeah. You know, they need him too much to be Zach LaVine. So he can't kind of disappear. And I can't be looking at DeMar DeRozan to take these threes. Because he'll take them. He doesn't care. He's like, fine, somebody got to shoot it. He'll step into it. He'll shoot the three. Zach, when he did that step back late in the fourth quarter, and it just ended up being a long two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not knowing where you are on the floor also will hurt as well, man. So, like I said, he's been great. It's hard to even complain or nitpick at him. But it's not really a complaint. It's a request.
Yeah.
I just want you to shoot more threes, man. Like, you can't only take two. You're too good for that. You know, you really are. You're just way too on another level. And they're not giving you the free throws that you should be getting. So, man, take those threes. I don't care where you shoot them from. He's got range from everywhere.
Yeah.
But they got to go up. They got to go up, Jamal.
Speaking of Zach's game, we got to shout out our biggest Zach fan in the comments.
Ramina?
Who's always here, Laura Lou. No, not Ramina. Ramina's the biggest Zach fan on Bulls Twitter. Laura Lou is the biggest Zach fan in our comments
That's
every
a
night.
Fact.
We got to show
fact.
Her love for
yes.
that.
Shout out.
Laura
That's
Lou
true.
Sent us a super chat saying, I don't want to talk about it, but if I must, hey, at least Zach had six assists tonight. This game was over when he had that whip pass of his life and Alex Caruso airballed it.
He did.
I mean, yeah, if you think about it, Zach should be averaging maybe one and a half assists per game more than he is.
Yeah.
You guys can hit
because he's hitting some disgustingly beautiful, as Laura Lou said, whip passes. His whip passes this season have been on target. They've been beautiful. He's oftentimes sending the ball to people who can't shoot. So that's not Zach's fault.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not his fault, man. And yeah, again, this is something we just talked about with AK, not having shooters, you know, not having them on the team to spread the floor, you know, for the Bulls out there. Just somebody who's a threat, you know, out there. You need those guys who can be threats on the floor. And when Kobe White's not going, even though he was going tonight, but when he's not going, you know what I mean, I can't really look at Ayo to be that guy.
Mm.
When Pat, you know, is just out of it, you need threats to shoot that three-pointer, and they don't have it.
Can I ask you guys what you thought of AK's press conference after the trade deadline, specifically as it relates to three-point shooting?
Because
KC, I thought so, but I just had that.
With a capital H, yes.
KC asked directly, you know, it's like, hey, I'm paraphrasing, you don't have three-point shooters. You need three-point shooters in 2023. What are you going to do about it, right? You didn't make any moves at the trade deadline. Well, you know, we're not shooting them as often, but we're still making them. Sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, yes, sometimes they
Sometimes you shoot 40 or even 45 or 50% on your threes.
But then tonight, what was it?
9 of 33.
9 of 33.
Oh, good Lord.
Not even 30%.
So glad we're in alignment
and
on
like,
this press
well, conference. I think
we're
in
together,
the Clippers
sir.
Game, they were like 6 of 24 or something like deplorable like that.
That's true. It was putrid. It was really bad.
And you're right, Jamal. Like, that question and that answer to that question – Doing it in training camp after all offseason moves had been made is one thing. And AK was asked that question and Billy was asked that question. And it was basically like, well, you know, we've got some shooters on this team. Derek Jones Jr. can shoot. And everybody went, yeah, well, Alex Caruso can shoot. And everybody went, But they basically just rattled off the names of the people who were all here last season and were here again this season. And we're like, we're hoping that they'll all shoot threes better. Yeah. And that it'll be internalized improvement on our three-point shooting problem.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting here saying, that's not a plan.
Yeah.
Or if you want to call it a plan, to be nice about it, it sure as shit ain't a good plan.
Wait, I see my man saying that. Well, talking about Patrick Williams, I said that he's not a threat from three. I'm going to be real with you. He's not. He can shoot threes. When I'm talking about threats, I'm talking about guys you got the game plan for from that three-point
line.
Somebody
you fear.
That's a fear. Exactly. They don't fear Patrick Williams from the three. Him hitting threes is just added to it. Yeah. They more so fear him being in the mid-range, going to the bucket, doing those kind of things, spreading the floor like that. But a fear, that's Kobe White. That's why I want Kobe White out there. Yeah. He's a guy that you actually have to say, oh, man, that dude's a shooter. He hits those threes, man. I understand he's shooting 41%. But they don't fear him. They don't fear him. Look at his threes, first of all, because they aren't contested. They're open. If they're wide open like that, that means they're not fearing you like that.
Low volume, too.
Correct. Yeah. He'll hit him, but he's shooting, what, two, three a game? Yeah. No, bro. Zach LaVine is the fear. You know what I mean? Like, Kobe is the fear. Those are your guys who you're fearing from the three-point line, not Patrick Williams. And will he get there one day? Well, if he starts, you know, increasing his volume, like you said, if he starts doing things like that, then yes, he can be a guy that you fear. But he's not somebody you got up on the board right there. Like, guys, this the guy we got to watch out for from the three-point line. No, that's not. No, no. Sorry. Not fearful, sir. Sorry.
AK also highlighting the P-Will's shot release is still a little slow, which, yeah, bugs you, drives you crazy. Yeah. When you feel like Pat has an open look and then he second-guesses it and then runs out of time, second guessing and then thinking about getting into his shot. And it's like, okay, well, you had a window to shoot, Pat, but now it's gone. Great job.
I mean, doesn't Patrick Beverly shoot like 38% from three?
He was terrible.
In career, he's 35, 36.
Something like, yeah, like
0 for 5.
I remember him bragging about it like shortly after
exactly.
He arrived.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
When
to
some
you.
People were like, yeah, Pat Bev might be fun, but he can't shoot threes.
Yeah, they don't fear him, is my point. Like, there's no fear of Patrick Beverly's threes.
Hey, question, did anyone hit Pat with the two loads?
Yes.
Okay, because there was something I like literally the crowd kind of made a noise and I was like, wait, what happened? Obviously, you know, you don't have an announcer, so you don't know what. So who was it? Was it D'Lo?
No.
LeBron?
Guess again.
Austin Reeves.
What?
Austin Reeves.
We were discussing this. We need to get your take, Jamal. Which is more embarrassing to have happen to you? Pat Bev hitting you with the two small or Austin Reeves hitting you with the two small?
It's got to be Austin Reeves.
Mm. I think it is. Yeah. I think it's worse if Austin Reeves does it to you.
See, I went with Pat because of who he did it against.
That's why I went with Pat. Yes.
You know, but him doing it against Patrick Beverly, it's like, all right. Yeah, and
you stole
money from a child.
That's like, fair,
congratulations.
Right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's how I feel.
It's crazy that Pat Bev did that to LeBron. Everybody was like, oh, you did that to LeBron.
Yeah.
And not to make everything about LeBron and MJ and the Go Conference, but I saw somebody on Twitter say it. It's not my joke, but like, if somebody tried to do that to MJ back in the day,
oh, yeah, I saw 45. Someone say that too.
Like,
yeah.
You would find that person's dead body under the stadium the next morning.
45.
You would find a corpse if somebody tried to do that shit to Michael. Yeah.
You're talking about taking it personally to the next level or something like that.
Exactly. Jeez. Exactly. I remember the game because people were talking about the Rex Chapman game recently when he scored, 39, I believe, on Jordan in Miami. And I was like, oh, did you see? He got him on that. I was like, why don't y'all go look up what happened the next time they played and they got it together again? Because Mike went insane. And then I think he had like 11 or something like that. Like, yeah, man. Like,
why don't you ask LeBradford Smith? Who, by the way, never even said a word to Mike.
And he spoke to the man. And he still gave it to him. So, no, it wouldn't happen like that. I thought it was going to come from LeBron. I really did.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to hit him with it. But to see it come from Austin Reeves, I was like.
I think he told him in the locker room at like halftime, like, hey, We win by 20. You hit them. You're doing
that. Sounds
it's
gonna right.
Hurt, it's going to hurt them a little more than
because it'll
do.
Be even more embarrassing for them.
Yes.
Yeah. if you do it.
D-Lo doing it alongside him, like when he was running down, D-Lo was doing it alongside
him. I thought someone must have hit him with the too small, because I was like, the crowd reacted weird, and it was like in a weird moment. Like, reach down for my popcorn or something. So I didn't see what happened. The game was already over by that point.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Hopes and dreams are already dashed by that point, sir.
Let's take one more quick break. When we come back, we got one more super chat to get to. Interesting question about the Bulls, the play-in scenario.
Okay.
And then hopefully we'll hear from the GOAT, Big Dave.
Uh-huh.
Tell the fine people out there in Bulls Nation about the awesome deal they should try with our friends at Fubo TV.
Oh, new ad. Okay, listen. I watch TV. I don't know if you do, but I do.
I do.
I watch television. I like doing that. And one thing I like doing on watch TV is having options and saving money. Those are all too awesome things to do, because you don't have to do anything. You can just sit there right on your beautiful derriere and do those things. Mm-hmm. But why don't you go and grab you Fubo TV? And I know you probably got questions out there. Like, they ain't Fubo TV, yeah, but they probably don't got a lot of channels. 140 live channels of sports shows, movies, and news. Yeah, but, you know, they probably, you know, cost too much. And I like watching sports. Watch the most Chicago sports for the lowest price. Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to sign no contract. You know what I mean? I don't want to deal with no hassle. No contract. No cable, no hassle, just sign up and start watching. Yeah, but I might want some DVR. I need to record some stuff like that. 1,000 hours of cloud DVR. Well, man, you know, I ain't got the money on me right now. I can't really spend it. Start watching immediately. 7-day free trial. Yes, I said free. I don't want to hear no more excuses. Go ahead and handle that. Watch the Chicago Bulls on NBC Sports Chicago with Fubo TV. Okay. Use the link in the description to sign up for 15% off the first month of Fubo Pro. Get on down with Fubo TV. Sit down, save money, enjoy yourself.
That was the best episode ever.
That was so good.
Off the cuff, first time.
That was my first
time. As we were sitting down, I was like, oh, Dave, you got to do Fubo for the first time today. He's like, oh, work? Okay. Tonight's episode of Post Game also brought to you all by our friends at ComEd. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve save money and energy. Two of my favorite things to save. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems. Everybody needs those. Commercial equipment. Everybody needs those. Mm-hmm. Kitchen equipment. Everybody needs those. Industrial processes, too. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and a simple payback plan. Mm. So here's what you do. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy. Two of my favorite things to save. I'm sure they are two of yours as well. By going to comet.com/poweringbiz for tips and to schedule your free facility assessment. One more time. That's comet.com/poweringbiz. B-I-Z biz. Shout out to ComEd.
Got a lot of energy.
All that savings.
Saving money.
Join us on the Go Talk Hotline.
Go Talk.
From the United Center.
Quaff King.
It's our guy, the Quaff King, Will the Goat Gottlieb. Follow him on Twitter for all of his Bulls reporting and updates. Will_Gottlieb. Will, we found our friend Jamal at Bull Central.
Hey,
he's joined us here.
He's here.
He ran from where you are to where we are.
Shocked to see you, but very excited you're going to be on the show, even though you're in my seat. And I'm going to make that joke every single time somebody comes.
I'm keeping it warm for you, Will.
Before you said that, Joey said that he was in Joey's seat, which didn't make a lot of sense because Joey always sits over there at the producer's chair.
Yeah,
but
seriously.
Will, I think I actually Joey's saw you at the United Center. Like, off in the distance, like, I was looking at, like, the media chairs, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Will over there. You were, like, sitting next to, like, Cody, probably, and Darnell,
yep.
It looked like. Yeah, her.
He was Darnell focused.
But you were, like, you were. I was on 114, so you're on the opposite side.
He was super focused, wasn't he?
He was focused. He was focused. I didn't want to disrupt him.
Mm-hmm. Just quietly stalking our friend Will over there while he was hard at work in the United Center.
I don't think he's the only one. I don't think he's the only one.
So, Will, this one seemed pretty cut and dry as far as why the Bulls lost. Lakers took a million more free throws. Lakers destroyed the Bulls on the offensive glass, scored damn near 30 second chance points, and the Bulls had a pretty typical night from downtown. And, I mean, yeah, well, anything else that you saw as reasons for this one kind of getting away from the Bulls after a couple of comebacks that kept it close?
Yeah, the two standouts were the ones that you mentioned for me. It was the 30 free throws for the Lakers compared to 13 for the Bulls. Obviously not what you want, especially for a team that is so reliant on scoring from the free throw line in order to boost their efficiency. And then the offensive rebounding has been a problem since All-Star break. They were the third best offensive rebounding team, the Bulls were the third best defensive rebounding team pre-All-Star. They were 17th before this game. Obviously that's going to go down even further. And that was post All-Star break. So I got some interesting stuff talking to Kobe and Billy after the game, and I'll have a write-up on that because I think it's more of a strategic failure than, you know, Patrick Williams only getting one rebound. That's why the rebounding sucks. So there's some interesting stuff, and be sure to look on the lchgo.com website for that tomorrow morning.
Will, you mentioned Patrick Williams and the one rebound. I mean, also just 2 points in 24 minutes, 0-5 from the three-point line. He just did not seem to have it tonight on either side of the floor because I didn't think he was great defensively either. What do you attribute it to? And do you see a bounce back coming for him at least against the Hornets?
I mean, you look at the last few games from him. 2 points tonight, 1 of 7. Last game against the Clippers, 16 points on 7 of 8. Game before that, 7 points on 3 of 6. Game before that, 10 points on 3 of 12. 7 points on 2 of 6, 6 points on 1 of 6. So I feel like it just kind of fluctuates game to game. And, you know, some of that could just be due to the fact that he's a younger player with inconsistent shooting, but he definitely needs to be more consistent. I think the role getting a little bit smaller for him should help, but we continue to see just like high, sort of a roller coaster ride with him. So he needs to be more consistent. I think he can still count the defense as dependable. He did a pretty solid job as well as anybody can do against LeBron in the second half there with Caruso minutes getting pulled back a little bit. But I think the offensive expectations just need to be what we've seen from him so far, which is like he's going to do a pretty solid job shooting catch and shoot threes, and the rest is going to be inconsistent, and we're just going to have to live with that.
Will, what was the feeling in the locker room? I'm curious. It's, you know, because it's like every time the guys make a step forward, you get this sense that everyone's happy, they're enjoying themselves, and then you have it followed up by a couple losses like we just saw against the Clippers and now the Lakers. How are the guys, you know, states in the locker room?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I've seen them more down, and I've seen them obviously way more excited. Pat Bev was one of the people that the group interviewed. And I was kind of in and out of that because I was trying to go talk to Kobe, but he basically was saying like, don't you think you have to be a little bit more excited about where we are? Don't you think you have to be a little bit more confident based on the way that we've been playing? So he's got his swagger and he's not ever going to change. Not that you'd want him to, but you know, they've lost 2 in a row. They had a tough road trip and they won 2 out of 3. And this season is, you know, not getting any easier. They've got a road trip now here to Charlotte on Friday and then back home against the Grizzlies. They need to win all these games here. They've said it like for weeks now, every game is a game 7. And so I think when they don't take care of business or they feel like they're just kind of out of the game for an extended period of time, it definitely is a hit, but they are just looking forward to the next one.
Will, were you surprised to see Javonte Green get in the game? Not only get in the game, but get in the game in the fourth quarter with about 5 minutes left.
That was odd.
Yeah, it was a little weird to me. Billy said he was just trying to get him some burn after sitting for the most, 46 minutes? First 46 minutes.
Pretty much, yeah.
And, you know, you put him right on LeBron. That's not very nice.
Right.
But he has been working back, obviously, and you want to get him, like, some minutes. You want to get some energy out there. You want to get some rebounding just because the Bulls really lacked that all night. So I kind of understood it from that standpoint, but for me it's like the game was decided. Why not just like save his knee and try again on Friday? But Billy was just saying like you're trying to get anything going there. You're trying not to lose on a sour note. And Javonte, if there's anything we know about Javonte, it's that he can really provide a spark. So maybe that was what they were going for.
Will, I'll let you get out of here after this one. Just curious if we got any more info from Billy after the game, any further updates on Andre Drummond. We heard from him on his social media account saying that he was going to be deactivating them yesterday, dealing with some personal issues for the sake of his mental health. Donovan expanded upon that a little bit himself before the game tonight. Anything else you can tell us about what's going on with Andre?
Just what we heard pregame, which was, you know, sort of empathy from the coach and the team, support from DeMar. And the one thing I thought was interesting from what Billy was saying, obviously you're going to be supportive of your guy and you're going to do whatever you can to help him, you know, get to a place where he's feeling better. Billy said he didn't really like push on whatever the issue is. And you know, I think that's probably the right thing to do. But he mentioned that they do have like resources within the team to help him deal with whatever it is that he's dealing with, and that Andre has taken advantage of those resources. So I thought that was interesting. And you don't really think about like NBA teams offering therapy or psychotherapy, but for him to take advantage of that. And, you know, obviously I think his mental health is priority number one, but when NBA players like that use their platform to start normalizing and talking about that kind of thing, I think it really has an impact. And I have some notes on what Billy talked about pregame, but it just seemed like the kind of spurred by what DeMar has really pushed throughout the course of his career, and Kevin Love, obviously, that more players are able to take a step forward and say when they're not feeling good, and take the time that they need to. So I'm happy for Andre. He's like truly one of the nicest guys in the world, and I wish him the best. And I think it's really good that he's taking some time for himself.
Yeah, true indeed.
Absolutely. Glad to hear that he's taking advantage of those resources the Bulls are offering.
One more real quick one, Will. Was Patrick Beverley asked about the Austin Reeves too small?
I missed it. Not sure.
Okay. Just checking.
Have to check your Twitter feeds.
Yes, sir.
Maybe Pat Bev conveniently ducked that question tonight. I don't know.
Nothing about Pat Bev says he's ducking.
Well,
any
no,
smoke.
That's true.
Yeah, that dude's about
Will, thank you for hopping on with us for a few minutes, buddy. Appreciate it as always. We will see you Friday for Bulls Hornets when they are on the road in Charlotte.
Yes.
Everybody out there in Bulls Nation, if you aren't already, give our guy Will a follow on the Twitter machine, Will_Gottlieb, to get all of his Bulls updates and thoughts. Make sure you're reading everything he writes for us at allchgo.com. The perfectly coiffed man.
Coiffed.
Take it easy, buddy.
Coiffed.
Oh, my God. Well, so before we get out of here, I did see a super chat question from our guy Alexander in the comments earlier,
okay,
who wants to know who we all want the Bulls to face in the play-in. Is there a team that you would like to see the Bulls play? Assuming we end up 9-10, and then, you know, then you would have to beat two play-in teams.
Right.
Do you feel great about any of them?
Yeah.
Who do you feel good about?
I feel good about Atlanta. I feel really good about them. I don't feel good about the Raptors. I don't think nobody wants to play the Raptors at all.
Raptors are not a good matchup for the Bulls.
At all, man. They've shown it all season. You know, even last season, they've shown they're a terrible matchup for them. But Atlanta, I'm not afraid of. Miami, I'm not afraid of. Or the Nets. Like, it could be the Nets, either one.
If the Nets slide in to 7 and Miami goes to 6, I wouldn't mind playing either of those teams.
Yeah.
I like the Bulls' chances in one game against Brooklyn or Miami.
I completely agree.
Hey, heck, the Bulls have dominated Miami all year.
It's true. But those Raptors, though, I'm cool on them all.
I did a video on this, how the Bulls cannot see the Raptors in the 9-10 matchup.
Yeah.
If they do, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the Bulls have surprised us all season, so who knows? But that is the worst matchup for them. And I think, especially after tonight's loss, the Bulls are going to be in the 9-10 matchup. It's just who are they going to face? I would rather see the Hawks.
Let me ask you, what makes that – because you explained to me what makes that matchup so bad for the Bulls, what the Raptors kind of offer.
I mean, the Raptors, first of all, are always so feisty and scrappy. They play with a ton of energy, which the Bulls do not most of the time. And they're massive. They're huge. It's the size. When you're talking about the Bulls and their rebounding today, the Raptors are going to dominate you on the boards. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get all these second-chance points just like the Lakers did tonight. I just, yeah, I don't I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
And they've struggled with against them all season.
It's true. It's true, man. Those long wings, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you said, just the only smallest person on the team is their point guard, and he's their best player. Yeah. Like, he's the all-star. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're vicious. I don't want no parts of them.
Atlanta and Toronto, after tonight's action, both sit 38 and 38, tied for 8th and 9th, two games ahead of the Bulls in 10th at 36 and 40.
Mm. And we still got Atlanta to play.
I saw some other people chiming in agreeing, saying, yeah, give us the Hawks, give us the Hawks. I don't necessarily feel great about the Hawks.
Okay.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because every time we've played the Hawks for the last 4 years, mm-hmm. the game is chaotic.
Yes.
It's back and forth.
Yes.
It makes no sense.
Yes.
And it comes down to the final possession and or overtime.
Yeah.
I don't need that shit in my life. Atlanta. Oh, thank you.
It'd be a good basketball game, man. And they would have a chance to win it. That's all I can tell you.
You know where I am.
I know where you are. I know just where you are, and that's why I'm going there to bring you back. Or at least just visit you.
Visit me in there.
You know, bring you some cookies or something. Mm. You know what I mean? That's it.
I mean, it's gonna be one of those two teams.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Agreed.
At this stage.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Hawks or the Raptors. That's who they're going to play.
That's what you got, man. Unless I don't see the Nets. I mean, I see them taking a fall, but not a dive.
No, not
you
that
know what
far.
Mean?
Not that far.
But, yeah, man. And it's not, again, it's not like all these teams are viable. All, you know what I'm saying? All these teams can win, you know, because they're all good. But I just feel better against those teams, you know, than I do the Raptors. Well, I don't feel anything at all.
And look, I guess it's still within the realm of possibility that the Bulls, with six games left, say they finish 4-2, 5-1 somehow.
Yeah.
And Toronto and Atlanta both just fall off a cliff. They could still leapfrog into 8th.
They could.
And get that Miami or Brooklyn matchup that would be way more beneficial to them.
They could.
More favorable. The Bulls, I mean, we joked about it earlier, but I saw people in the comments saying, hey, you know, Hornets, this is not a simple win on Friday. They've been playing well. They have impressive wins. They beat
Dallas
OKC.
Twice.
And Dallas twice, which now Dallas beating Dallas now means nothing. Dallas is a shit show. But, I mean, those wins are not nothing.
Yeah.
Then you got the Grizzlies, Jaws back, those Hawks, Bucks, and then you finish Mavs Pistons. Can the Bulls go 4-2 or 5-1 in those six games?
They could. Only because
could
the Bucks.
They could, okay. But will they?
Will yes. they? I'm seeing a big hairy no.
But the only thing that helps that along is because the Bucks might be sitting players at that time. Might be.
You
know,
yes.
What about, what, two games left for the Bulls after that?
We play the Bucks on April 5th, our third to last game of the season.
Yeah. So two after that.
That's a good point. They could be.
Yeah.
They could, they've already they could secured the number up. One seed. Yeah.
Right,
why?
Right. Well. If it's locked up by then. Then I like our chances. You know what I'm saying? But if it's not, then we'll see, man. But, yeah, whatever it is, man, like you said, it's going to be game sevens all the time.
I hate to say it, but do you think there's a world where the Bulls could potentially even miss the play-in?
There's a world
because
where
the Wizards are – they won more recently. They actually dominated, I think it was the Celtics, right?
Yeah, they whooped them. Yeah.
Wizards are two games back. I think the Pacers at this point are pretty much toast.
Yeah, they're done.
They are 3.5 games back of the Bulls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wizards only two games back. I don't see them. Wow, you know what? You know, nothing can surprise me at this point.
That's like, the way I look at it. I don't think that they will. Like it's there's too few games and there's too much cushion, so I think they will finish with the 10th seed. But
and they have the tiebreaker anyway.
Right.
That's
true
as well.
Yes,
so
you're right. You're right.
That also hurts their chances. But yeah, man. It's about getting these wins, man. Let's get these wins. Let's just go play one more.
I think they'll get into the play-in at least just because because being a Bulls fan is always torture. I'm just looking ahead down the road a little bit. They'll be able to say, like, well, we didn't improve upon last season technically because they were 46 and 36 and went to a first-round playoff series.
They did.
They'll try to somehow claim that making the play-in was some grand achievement. Dealing with whatever it was they were dealing with this year. Oh, well, yeah, not having Lonzo really came out of left field and caught us off guard. Really? Did it? Because plenty of us were sitting here saying, he ain't playing this year.
There he goes, guys.
God,
there it is.
Don't you want to see Pat Bev get on the scores table?
Oh, my God.
Start cheering?
Take off the
jersey. That's all I'm rooting for at this point, Jamal, is chaos and entertainment. But hopefully of the shorter variety – so that our season can be done. We can take a deep breath and then just enjoy good playoff basketball that doesn't involve this crapshoot of a Bulls season. It's done nothing but piss me off.
Well, that's not hard to do. So, wait, someone asked, can you promise a Luke Stuckmeyer hat throw tomorrow? Does Luke Stuckmeyer throw hats?
No.
I didn't know.
Somebody was trying to convince Luke when they were watching the Cubs show the other day to throw his hat like I throw my hats.
Yeah, but
and
that's
apparently unsuccessfully.
Yeah, but
anyone can throw a hat if they want
throw
to.
A hat, but nobody
throws you throw hats when you get really upset.
This is true. I do.
Doesn't it make you feel better?
No.
Doesn't it feel good for like a split second? It makes you feel better.
I don't know. I black out.
What do you do to take out your frustration on the Bulls, Jamal?
You know, it's weird. I've ever since I had kids, I had to be like surprisingly detached. Like I have
to be a lot more patient.
Like, yeah, it's just like, you know, this sucks and I'm very annoyed. But whereas before, yeah, I'd throw stuff. I'd throw hats, you know, I don't know, kick something. Yeah, not like overly aggressive.
Have you broken
aggressive.
Something before?
I've never broken anything. Okay. But like now with kids, the level of patience that I have has gotten so much better. And also I don't want to react in front of them.
True. Yeah.
Unless it's in a positive way. So when DeMar DeRozan hit that second buzzer beater against the Wizards last year, obviously I lost it. And my daughter, who was three at the time, she like got scared. She's like, what just happened? So I was like, okay, I need to like tone it down when that kind of stuff happens. So I realized if there's a game on the line and I know I'm gonna react in a really, you know, intense manner, I'll go like remove myself and like watch it on my phone, you know, for the last play.
Oh, yeah. That game with the orange ball is on the TV again. Daddy's about to lose it.
Is this when Daddy goes crazy again? Let's get out of the way. Let's just move.
Yeah.
Give him his space.
That's it for tonight. One more round of applause and thank you to our friend Jamal Appletooney, creator and host of the Bull Central YouTube channel. Y'all probably know him. If you somehow haven't discovered him yet and are here watching with us tonight and hanging out with us tonight, give his YouTube channel a sub.
Yes.
You do great stuff, man. Truly you enjoy really you do, being bro. A part of the Bulls yeah, content family. And yes, you need to come through Chicago more. I know the West Coast is so damn far away.
Yeah.
It's hard with kids, but I'm going to try to do more often. So I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys having me on, too.
Hey, yes, dude, man. You're welcome to roll through anytime. You can also follow on Twitter, Bull Central YT, right?
Yes.
That's the handle. Big Dave, bow, BAWL Sports. Bah. Our guy, Will the Goat, Will _ Gottlieb.
He's an adult.
We are CHO _ Bulls. I'm Bulls _ Peck. Shout out and appreciation to our guy, Kevin Wells, rocking the controls in Joey's absence tonight. Joey, we missed you. Hopefully we'll see you. Oh, well, we'll see him tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Because he's going to be working at the baseballs.
You're going to be working.
Quick reminder.
A few beers.
Working that kind of way. Sox fans, the Whistle Bar down on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
That's where CHGO White Sox are going to be posted up for their game tomorrow night. Tomorrow, Cubs got a 1:20 home opener. And we,
11 a.m.
CHGO Cubs, myself, Dave, you're going to come?
I'll be there.
We'll be at the Country Club right there in Wrigleyville on Clark Street. Kev, you're going to make an appearance too?
I'll be there, man.
Hey, look at that.
Look at that.
What time's your flight tomorrow?
6 p.m. actually.
Hey. You got some time.
Come have a beer.
Maybe I'll have to come out.
Hey. Come have a beer. Pick like a side and come have a beer.
Don't pick a side. Don't listen to me.
Hopefully we'll see some of y'all at our various baseball watch parties tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mm. And then we'll be back Friday for Bulls Hornets.
No, they will not make a fake Jamal account. Be Will supporter.
Can't do it.
Love you, man.
For everybody here, thanks as always for tuning in, Bulls Nation. We love you. We'll try again Friday. Hit that thumbs up button before you head out if you haven't already. Subscribe to CHGO Sports on YouTube. See you, Red. Be good. Mm.